Welcome to today's edition of the Clay Travis and Buck Sexton Show podcast.
Welcome back in. Final hour of the week. 14 hours up, one to go. I hope you guys have managed to hang out with us for a lot of them. It has been an incredibly news-centric week. So many different things that we have discussed. If you missed the first couple of hours of today's program, Senator Rand Paul was on with us in hour one. He was fantastic. Art Laffer, the famous economist, was on with us in the second hour. He was also extraordinarily good. And we're set to be joined by Ian Miller, who I think many of you are going to really enjoy. If you are active on social media, he does incredible work analyzing COVID data, pointing out how masks and vaccine mandates have completely and totally failed. Speaking of which, Buck, I'm down in the free state of Florida. You are still wearing your scarf, trapped in your apartment as you attempt to recover from Omicron. Do you feel, by the way, back to 100%?
Excuse me, sir. How do you not know this isn't my ready-to-go face covering at a moment's notice? You think it's a scarf, it's true, but it could very quickly turn into a Fauci anxiety napkin at a moment's notice, and therefore I am compliant with all this idiocy that does nothing to stop the virus, but I am prepared, sir. I feel fine. I keep calling it Wimpy Cron. It's not that bad. It's not that bad.
Compared to you, because I was fortunate neither time that I had COVID. I had it in November 2020, and I just had what we believe is the Omicron version last week. I'm back 100%. You feel like this version, because you had it pretty severe the first time, this version of COVID. I mean, it wasn't, you and I both had really bad colds. People could hear it on the radio in November. It was not COVID. This is a pale approximation even of that cold we had earlier in the winter fall, right?
Oh, it was the whatever that upper respiratory thing is that people listening to the show know. You had it, then I had it.
Yep.
We haven't even seen it. We're not in the same city, but it was spreading all across the country. That was way worse than what I've had here with Omicron. There's something funky going on here, because they say it's all Omicron across the country, and they say it's far less lethal, but we have 1,800 deaths a day. So are 1,800 people a day dying from Omicron? Is that what we're supposed to believe? Because that doesn't seem like it's far, far less lethal than Delta. So is it the 5% of cases that are still out there that are Delta are causing 95%? But I'm making up those numbers.
No. You're asking a really significant question, which is, if Omicron is so much less deadly, how is it that we are still having nearly 2,000 deaths a day attributed to COVID? I think one answer is a lot of those deaths are not COVID deaths, right? And we're starting to see if the state of New York, for instance, is going to come out and say, hey, half of the people that are roughly half of the people that are hospitalized for COVID are there with COVID, meaning they weren't actually being hospitalized with COVID. And I think, Buck, what you're going to see is there's going to be more and more of an examination of these numbers. Because as you're pointing out, if Omicron, which is reportedly 98 or 99% of all COVID infections now, if it is actually the cause of these people being in the hospital, then you wouldn't expect for COVID death rates to continue to be around 2,000 a day, which is where we are right now.
I mean, I think I saw what wasn't the most. Do you remember what the when they kind of amplified, they took a look at what the mortality rate was of COVID, of Delta COVID versus Omicron? I think it was at least considered 10 times less lethal, right? Wasn't that something along those lines based on the early data? Again, folks, I'm going off of memory. There's a lot of numbers changing, so please don't take that as gospel. But I'm just trying to, I mean, they definitely said for a while that South African epidemiologist who discovered Omicron, the initial data was that nobody was dying in South Africa from Omicron. They were only dying from Delta. So there's just some things here with the numbers that don't add up. And, you know, Clay, I had mentioned before when we had Senator Rand Paul on this, and I just wanted to remind folks about it, because I think this is going to end up being very, very significant. But there is data from the General Hospital of San Francisco, a very big, very serious medical institution, that suggests that we're not getting the full picture here of what's really happening with COVID infections and mortality across the country. Here's what he put out on his Substack. Did you see the Substack? The one I'm talking about?
I looked it up after you told me about it.
Yeah, 72%. This, again, this is Alex Berenson's data, but has anyone ever said his data is wrong, folks? You ever had him had to come on and say, yeah, those numbers, those were fraudulent numbers? Never happened, at least not that I'm aware of. 72% of COVID patients at San Francisco General Hospital are vaccinated, okay? 26% of them, so almost a third, are boosted. And the total numbers he has for COVID positive patients for San Francisco General Hospital, 19 unvaccinated, 32 vaccinated with the first two doses, 18 boosted, and COVID positive but not admitted for COVID, 23. There's no way this pandemic of the unvaccinated thing, the numbers don't add up, Clay. It just doesn't add up. I mean, Rand Paul basically said, how many seniors are there out there who are unvaccinated at this point? We've been advocating for every senior to get vaccinated, and it's, what is it now, over 95%?
5%. 5% roughly of people over 65 are unvaccinated. And Buck, I want to play this cut from Fauci, but what's interesting going on right now is you have an acknowledgement from the CDC, which they refuse to talk about forever, that natural immunity starting in October of 2021 was better at protecting people from severe outcomes from the Delta strain than was the COVID vaccine. And you've already had the Pfizer CEO come out and say, hey, basically the first and second shot of our COVID vaccine provides limited, if any, protection against Omicron. And so now you've got Fauci is suddenly optimistic, Buck. And maybe this is just Fauci recognizing. I thought it was really interesting in hour one. What did Rand Paul tell us, Buck? He said that he thought Fauci would resign as soon as the midterms happened because he would know that with Republicans back in control in the House and back in control potentially in the Senate, that he was going to be grilled on all of the improprieties involving his gain of function research, American tax dollars, his relationships with China, that he thought he would run for the hills by November of 2022. But it's interesting because if you listen to this clip in conjunction with what Rand Paul just said, it's like Fauci is starting to think, hey, maybe I can claim victory and go ahead and retire. And this time he's citing natural immunity. I don't remember this ever happening before as one of the reasons for his optimism. Listen to this, Buck.
The combination of vaccinated and boosted people and the protection afforded by prior infection will have a level of protection in the community so that you won't get the situation where there's enough activity which leads to hospitalizations, deaths, and stressing the healthcare system, which in fact answers a bit of your first question. What about Omicron? If you get infected, can you get infected again? Sure, there are reinfections, but it is unlikely that if you mount a good immune response, it is extremely unlikely that you will be reinfected with the same variant.
So Fauci suddenly finds natural immunity and recognizes that it's likely to lead us out of what has been a two-year absurdity of constant cycles of masking up and unmasking, and then your kids can't be in school and lockdowns, and you have to wear and behave in this manner. I really do believe that if Omicron is spreading as we believe it is, that by the summer, it's going to be hard to justify very many restrictions at all, and we might be right back to where we were in May of 2021, when you remember with great fanfare, the CDC came out and said, if you get the vaccine, you no longer have to wear masks. And that fun lasted, what, Buck, about 60 days before they came back and said, actually, put masks on again.
Yeah. And I think this is the problem the Democrats are going to run into in the midterms. They're going to want to make it seem like they've beaten the virus. They're going to want to go with the we're past it now narrative. But in the background, they're not going to get rid of masks on planes. I can tell you that. Not before the midterms. No, sir. Because they still have their base terrified about all this stuff. I mean, irrationally terrified of COVID. And I think what we've seen, Clay, is that no matter what the vaccination schedule is, no matter what the level of shots is, there's likely to be a COVID variant. Now, look, maybe there's a COVID variant next year that's even less concerning and super contagious, but less, you know, that would be a good thing and fine. But we could have just a version of what we already have now, which is a new kind of Omicron. I guess what comes, my Greek alphabet's not so good. I don't know. You know, were you in a fraternity?
I was for a little while. Is it the Psi? I think it would be Cy, right?
Look at you with the.
I think
good,
I'm correct.
Pull if, out assume, of the sky there.
I think that's right. I could be totally wrong, but I think we would go from O to the Greek P, right? Which would be Cy.
Yeah. So if we go to the Cy virus, then it's going to be exactly, you know, people are going to get the shots and they're going to say, oh, it's the flu protocol is what we're going to be going through. But people still haven't been willing to accept that that's where we are. Flu shots work somewhat, not great. They help. They're worth it for seniors. This is the world we got to be living in. But I'm a firm believer in this. And I know I am an anti-mask fundamentalist. Like I will
yes.
say,
I will join you and have been for a long
like,
time as well.
Like I'm, that's right. And we're two of the original, we're some of the original yes. gangsters here for the anti-mask crew.
We're anti-mask 1.0.
Yeah. Well, I mean, I should go back in the archives. Had you on, I'd want to, certainly in April of 2020, you're on my radio show and I'm like, Clay Travis, sports guy, you know this is going on. What's going on? And you're like, yeah, this is crap. Why are people wearing masks? Doesn't make sense. Until people finally just realize how stupid that is, all of this doesn't go away. When everyone finally says we're not masking up anymore, we're not doing this, because it's the constant psychological reminder for everybody. They see people with masks. Oh, gotta be scared. It factors into all of the decision making and all the public psychology about this virus. And you know, other societies, other countries maybe have had this going on for a long time. Those are much more compliant societies, folks. You know, if you're living in China, mask wearing is the least of your problems when it comes to state tyranny.
No doubt. And I've got a reason for optimism I'm going to share before we finish this hour, based on what I saw at an airport. I got a good story for you, Buck. Remind me to hit us with it before we finish. In the meantime, you know this, Valentine's gifts sometimes don't go that well. You need to pick the right ones. And I'm going to tell you, Tommy John is the right Valentine's Day gift. You can get new loungewear, pajamas, underwear. Whenever you and your favorite person are wearing Tommy John, you're that much more comfortable, so you can do everything better. Tommy John loungewear makes you feel perfectly at ease every time you wear it. Imagine being comfortable every day with something as simple as wearing the softest, best-made gear there is. Their clothing made with a fabric soft tri blend that has a four-way stretch. You'll feel the love all year long. 17 million pairs sold. Tommy John's made couples across the country comfier than ever. Let them do the same for you and your Valentine. Valentine's Day, Buck. I don't know how many people you got to buy Valentine's gifts for. Maybe 8, 9 different girls. Make sure that you take care of all of them. How can you hook people up?
Go to TommyJohn.com/Buck. Get 20% off your first order right now at TommyJohn.com/Buck. Again, TommyJohn.com/Buck for 20% off.
If we're saying that there's no election that's legitimate if there are efforts to suppress the vote, then when has there ever been a legitimate election in this country? Trying to suppress American votes has been going on since the founding of this country.
That's not what we're saying, Jake. People should be confident in the protections that we are going to continue to enforce. But also, we know it's not long ago history. It is recent history.
Sure.
When the former president tried to overturn the outcome. That is different than the effort to suppress the vote. We need to fight against both. We need to ensure we're using every tool at our disposal. Obviously, a lot of those would be through the Democratic National Committee, and a lot of those are going to be through local efforts. And that's what the president was attempting to speak to.
No, their narrative doesn't make any sense. Can we just let's dive into this for a second? And that was Tapper over on CNN asking a real question. And welcome back to the Clay and Buck Show. Now, let's take a look at this for a second. They're telling us, Clay, that unless dramatic changes are made, I just want to put this in, and then we do have to talk about the upgraded or updated, I should say, M&Ms. I wanted to get to that now, but I got my cut sheet confused here for a second. Their argument seems to be, and this is why they're having so much trouble now selling this to the public. Forget about the fact that they were never going to really pass this and that it was all for show because they're not going to get the filibuster change. And they knew that, but they're really emotionally, it seems, and politically invested in this narrative of protecting voting rights. They're the ones that want to make dramatic changes to existing voting laws that have been in place for you know, depending on the law we're talking about, for decades, right? That's been the way that things are going, talking about when early voting occurs, talking about voter ID, all these different things. And so they say, if you don't do what we want, you know, maybe we can't really trust this election's legitimate. Well, if that's their pitch, Clay, for this fall, how is it that they can tell us that they accept all the previous elections where their preferred changes weren't actually made? It doesn't hold water. Doesn't hold up.
What we need, Buck, is an absolute ass kicking in 2022 and 2024, where it's not an in the margin election, right? Because the truth of the matter is, when the election is really close, and we've had a lot of really close elections over the past really 21st century. In fact, the only real election that I remember happening in the 21st century where people said, yeah, I think that wasn't really in question, was Obama-McCain, right? Obama won by enough over John McCain that nobody was like, hey, we need to go look at the specifics in this individual state. But if you look back, Gore Bush, super tight. Bush against Kerry, John Kerry and the Democrats, they argued about what happened in Ohio, right? They argued that one was close. Then you had Obama-Romney, which came down to a couple of states. People argued about that. Trump and Hillary, certainly. Trump and Biden. What really, I think, is the essence of all these arguments over elections is when you lose closely, you can look at the data and figure out a reason why you were wronged, right? Whether you're a Democrat or a Republican, everybody argues that they actually won unless they get their ass kicked. And that's why we need, I really mean this, Buck, in 2022 and in 2024, it needs to be such a thorough ass kicking. You know, nobody argued about the election results in 1984 when Ronald Reagan destroyed Walter Mondale, right? Everybody's like, well, you know what? This was a crushing. Nobody argued in 88 when George H.W. Bush took it to Michael Dukakis. I don't really remember arguments in 92 or 96. What we really have is just a real win, a win that is not disputable in the margins based on a few thousand votes in an election state. And that's where I think we need to be sooner rather than later.
I mean, that I totally agree, by the way. We have to win by so much that it's not something that could reasonably be questioned, because if it can, they will. And they'll just use it as a political weapon in the most cynical fashion, which is what they've done in the past anyway. But this time around, I'm with you. They got to get crushed.
Can't be close. Audience has been generous. We appreciate all of you for supporting Tunnel to the Towers. This is a dedicated organization of people with a mission to provide support to America's heroes and their families ever since 9/11. When a first responder or military service member doesn't come home, young children are left behind. Tunnel to the Towers pays off their mortgage to lift the financial burden and bring their family stability. That's why the Operation Home Base at Tunnel to the Towers is gifting tiny homes to homeless veterans, our nation's heroes, people who put their lives on the line for our country and our communities, need your help. You can help these heroes and their families. Join Tunnel to Towers on its mission to do good in their honor. Donate $11 a month at T2T.org. I want you to listen carefully to me. That's T, the number 2T.org. Donate $11 a month. Do it today. Welcome back in, Clay Travis, Buck Sexton Show. I hope all of you are having fantastic Fridays. Hope you're going to have spectacular weekends. Going to go check out NFL playoff game in my hometown of Nashville. Cincinnati Bengals coming to town, taking the boys. Hopefully the Titans can win a game. We bring in now Ian Miller, who I found online because he does such incredible data analysis and graphs. He's at ENMSC. I just tweeted out his handle. If you are active on social media, I encourage you to follow him. Ian, you take a great deal of glee in pointing out the absurdity of mask and vaccine mandates in terms of stopping the spread of COVID in any way. When did you start to make these graphs, and how much viewership have your graphs gotten over time? Do you have any real idea? You're doing the Lord's work here and sharing this stuff.
Well, thank you very much. I started doing it, I would say, last summer. I was really when it really took off. I know it's the numbers are pretty crazy. You know, Twitter has it shows you with the analytics, and it's, you know, it's tens of millions of views per month, which is fantastic. And you know, I know it's gotten into the hands of some very influential political people, leaders, and politicians. So I've been very humbled and grateful that it's done as well as it has.
Ian, you know, we've got this book out this week, Unmasked, The Global Failure of COVID Mask Mandates. That's like one of my favorite book titles I've been able to read out loud in a long time, because as I was just describing, I am an anti-masking fanatic. I think that this is insane and horrifying, and it's a mass hysteria and has been from the very beginning. What are some of, this is still highly contentious, and there are a lot of people who think of themselves as very smart. They're not. But they have big perches in the media and in government who still take it as effectively settled science that mask mandates work. You've got this book, Unmasked. You're looking at all the data. Just give us some of your best stuff. I mean, what are some of your best punches at the Fauciite mask madness?
Right. Well, I think one of the best examples is in California, where, you know, you have Los Angeles, which has been as devoted to this as anybody. And Los Angeles has essentially been under a mask mandate since April of 2020 and has some of the highest, you know, COVID case rates in the world, death rates in the world as well. The LA County Public Health Department just recently put out a press release saying that they've measured businesses went around and had 95% plus of people were wearing masks. And LA reported one of the highest individual case rates that we've seen anywhere in the United States recently. So they're measuring it as everybody's wearing it. It's still not working. The numbers are still skyrocketing through the roof. And there's many examples of that, but that's one of my favorites just because we know for a fact that everybody's complying here in California and it's not working.
So if it's not working, we saw in England, and you can say, well, it's because Boris Johnson is under a great deal of political pressure, but it's almost like that pressure gave him the confidence to finally do what the data has shown him for a long time, which is to eliminate their national mask mandate and also to eliminate their vaccine passports. The data is the exact same, if not more so, in the United States. When will any politician on the Democratic side of the aisle, in your opinion, based on what you are seeing, actually have the confidence to say anything similar to what Boris Johnson said?
It's a great question. I don't know that it's going to happen anytime soon. Jared Polis from Colorado was the closest, and he basically said, you know, other states have done this. We're not seeing better results there. It requires a willingness to kind of admit that everything that they were doing for the last 2 years didn't work and never worked. And that is very tough for politicians to do. And I think Boris Johnson had he was getting criticism from his own side of the aisle. And unfortunately, Democrats are not criticizing each other. You know, they're not saying we should end mask mandates. They're just doing more of it. We're going to send 400 million N95 masks out there, which will be just as useless as the other ones. If you're following me on Twitter, you've seen I posted Germany already does this. They already have N95 mandates in cases there are at record highs right now. So I don't know when that's going to happen. I hope it's soon, but I don't see it happening anytime soon right now.
Ian, that's very interesting because, you know, early on, some of the mask studies, if anyone actually bothered to read studies of that are on the CDC website and were peer-reviewed, control-studied mask situations, it showed that cloth masks are essentially against whether it's measles or the flu. Cloth masks are a joke. They don't really do anything. But there was always this belief that, well, N95 masks, because unlike cloth masks, at least the basic aerodynamics and mechanics of this might line up, right? That the opening in the mask fibers is small enough that a virus wouldn't freely pass through it. But it sounds like what you're telling me is that even in Germany, where they did the N95 mask mandate upgrade, which is currently fashionable among Fauciites in America, that it didn't, there was no discernible difference in caseload in Germany after the N95 mask. Is that right?
That's correct. And you can go and look, and a couple of their provinces, or excuse me, states, already, you know, had N95 mandates, and some only had surgical grade mask mandates. And the ones with the surgical mask mandates have done better than those with the N95 mandates. There's just no difference, and we've seen this play out all over the world. But even when you compare real world data, and obviously a lot of these studies are we're very well done, but some are also just mechanistic lab studies where, oh, we think it might work in the lab, but then when you get into the real world, if it's not fitted properly, it's still going to have aerosols leaking out from the sides. And so it's not totally surprising, but in the real world, it hasn't made any difference at all.
We're talking to Ian Miller. We encourage you to go check out his book, which is Unmasked, The Global Failure of COVID Mask Mandates. Also, you can check him out, read his Substack, Unmasked, which is also fantastic, at IanMSC on Twitter. So we know that we have failed. We know that many Western democracies have failed in our response to COVID. Who has done the best job? Which country, based on, you look at a lot of this data and analyze so many different countries, based on what you've seen, who's done the best job maintaining normalcy while still responding in some way to COVID? What was the optimal response country that you could point to?
The obvious answer would be Sweden. I think that they've done the best job. They haven't been perfect, and their leaders would tell you, you know, we made some mistakes early on with nursing homes, but you know, they never mandated masks. They never enforced mask usage. They didn't have strict lockdowns. It was much more voluntary, some capacity limits, things like that. They tried as much to keep normal life going without making COVID the sole focus of all of their policy. And I think they succeeded, and the results show that, you know, and I post this or write about it in the book, but they're in the right now, I think they're around 60th in the world in mortality rate, which is unexceptional. I mean, much countries that did lockdowns like Peru and mask mandates, Peru is the highest death rate in the world. And so they've disrupted their social life. They disrupted their economic life, did all the mask mandates and the lockdowns and had significantly worse results. Whereas Sweden tried to avoid all that. They've really followed the all of the guidance pre-COVID, what they said to do. And it worked out just fine for them. They did just fine.
I want to know something, Ian. Do you get a lot of, you know, one of the things that's been interesting for both Clay and me this entire pandemic are the doctors who will reach out behind the scenes and say, I can't say this publicly because they'll go after my license or my hospital will take away my privileges and all this stuff. But, you know, what you guys said about X or Y, usually in criticism of Fauci, is true. And a lot of our colleagues in the medical community know it's true. I'm wondering what that's been like for you as a guy who's just very you have this very direct approach of the data. You know, you're just using the actual CDC numbers and data and letting people visualize it by putting out these graphs. Do you have a lot of medical people reaching out to you? And also, do you have people who reach out to you and say, who are MDs, who say, wow, you know, now that I see this, masks really don't do a damn thing?
Yeah, that has happened. It is surprising. And I think one thing people forget is that a lot of times doctors, you know, they're busy, they're seeing patients, they're working, they're not really looking at a lot of the data. And a lot of times the doctors that we see on Twitter that are just kind of parroting the Fauci narrative, they're just repeating what influential people are saying. They don't really go and look at the actual research themselves very often. So it has been gratifying to hear people that said, you know, I didn't really look at this. I just kind of listened to what everybody else was saying, but now seeing it, I understand it's not working, and I'm trying to incorporate that into my own practice. Or, you know, and I've had people reach out about contributing to lawsuits and things like that. So it's been really gratifying to hear from people and validating to hear that a lot of experts do agree with this, and they just can't speak out publicly for fear of retribution, which is just insane.
Well, the book is Unmasked, The Global Failure of COVID Mask Mandates. I'm going to get a copy and just keep it on my wall, you know, keep it right there just so I can stare at it all the time because I hate these mask mandates. Ian Miller, everybody, check him out, IanMSC on Twitter. Ian, thank you so much.
Thank you.
Look, this has been another whirlwind week on Wall Street, reminding us one more time that protecting the value of your savings account is against economic factors far out of your control. You can protect the value of your hard-earned savings and your IRA as well. You do that by purchasing gold. I'm talking about real gold as part of your savings plan. That protection, the purchase of gold, which has proven over time to only grow in value, particularly when our dollar is losing value. And that certainly happened over the last 12 months. Our partners at the Oxford Gold Group are who I've relied on for the purchase of gold and precious metals. They've made it easy to take actual physical possession of gold that I've purchased. I'm talking about holding real gold in your hands. It's a memorable moment, by the way, the first time you do it. Buying real gold is not complicated. Call the Oxford Gold Group. They'll explain everything to you. Having Real Gold delivered to your home or having Real Gold as part of your IRA is just a phone call away with Oxford Gold. Call them at 833-404-GOLD and learn how you can have Real Gold in your IRA and delivered to your door. That's the Oxford Gold Group at 833-404-GOLD, 833-404-G-O-L-D. Welcome back to the final segment this week of the Clay Travis and Buck Sexton Show. If you missed any of it, by the way, please go check out and subscribe to the Clay and Buck podcast. And also you can go to the Clay and Buck website at clayandbuck.com for transcripts and news stories that we talk about. And at BuckSexton.com, I made the pitch that Biden's year two is going to be even worse than an op-ed. You can check that out. And the Outkick story, I'm throwing everything out there yeah. right now, on Leah Thomas versus the other transgender swimmer, and was there collusion behind the scenes? So some weekend reading for all of you there. Go check all that out. And Ireland now joining the freedom movement, it seems here, from Fauciite madness. Just breaking now. The country of Ireland is scrapping almost all of its COVID-19 restrictions tomorrow. They're getting rid of, and by the way, Ireland was a super high vaccination country, incredibly strict about lockdowns. They are getting rid of vaccine passports, venues all at full capacity. They're going to require masks on public transport, but only until February. And then they're going to drop that too. So it's all, and they're saying the excitement is palpable. It's all going away. Clay, this is what a rational response to the massive failure of Fauciism would be anywhere in the world, which is just, it didn't work, guys. Stop the crazy crap. It didn't work.
I think this is what Biden's going to have to do in July or August in advance of the midterms. I think he's going to have to declare victory against COVID, say it's time to go back to normalcy and take the hits that he gets from the left-wing anxiety crowd. And let me give people that, first of all, that news from Ireland is fantastic because paired with England, that's two Western democracies making rational decisions surrounding COVID, which is two more almost than we've had for a long time. I flew down here to Florida, and I'm looking forward again for our event with WFSX, our affiliate down here in Fort Myers, Southwest Florida. But I flew down here, Buck, and the first flight that I have taken since the mask mandate happened, they didn't make any comments on my Southwest Airlines flight about needing to keep your masks up. Not one. No flight attendant, no announcement, no policing of it as you walked up and down the line. Now, maybe that was just a very lenient crew that I happened to have. But the other thing that I noticed, Buck, have you seen this where when they go around, either they were stopping giving out snacks, right? For a long time, they're like, well, whatever. And then on Southwest, and I fly Southwest Airlines a lot, they would walk up with like a piece of cardboard and they would say, just hold up your finger for 1, 2, 3, or 4 for whatever drink you wanted. And there were only 4 options. And they were like, they don't even want you to talk. It was like, you're just supposed to hold up a finger. This is the first time, and this was yesterday for me, that they went around and took a normal order. You could get whatever you would ordinarily want from the drink menu, as opposed to just having to hold up 4 fingers on it. I meant to see if I could order some alcohol because it seemed like alcohol might even be back because you haven't been able to get beer or liquor if you fly on an airplane. You guys know out there what I'm talking about. But it's the most normal that an airplane flight has felt for me in basically 2 years. I didn't feel like I was on an airplane flight and I was being constantly harangued about where my mask was on my face or about drinking or eating anything during the course of the flight. Cautious optimism that sanity might be starting to prevail in the friendly skies.
Your M&M packaging might be a little different, Clay. M&M's from Mars Candy Company has updated the cartoons to represent the various M&M's, and two of the lady M&M's are getting the biggest changes. They're getting rid of green M&M's go-go boots and replacing them with sneakers. And they're also making the heels on, I believe, brown M&M, also a lady M&M, as I understand it, less high. So she seems more like business casual, I suppose.
Nah, I'm a big fan of high heels. So this is a poor move. I was really all in on the brown M&M. And now that they've taken away the heels, it doesn't have the same allure to me anymore. Just
doesn't. The go-go
and
boots
I like the go-go
of,
boots too. Kind of hot. Yeah. I mean, come on. Go-go boots are tough to beat.
I don't know what this is, you know. I mean, look, it's a very minor thing, but sometimes we have to look at the minor things to have a little fun here with how, why update this at all, first of all? I mean, I guess it does get us talking about it, but the way they've updated it too. I mean, I only want my M&Ms to be triple vaccinated and announcing their pronouns, Clay. If the M&Ms don't announce their pronouns and if they're not triple vaccinated, I will not eat them.
I'm a peanut M&M guy. Are you a traditional M&M guy? If you had to choose between the two, the brown package versus the yellow.
I mean,
package?
If I'm going full fat kid with my favorite M&Ms, I'm going to do it with the peanut butter M&Ms.
Oh, the red, the red package.
Yeah.
Straight peanut butter. By the way, we got a funny call to close out with, I think. Is DJ in San Diego still there talking about the Biden 4 tests that are going out? DJ, you got a great analogy here.
Yeah, guys, you know, it's as you guys discussed on Wednesday, it's much harder to see people now where you get your government issued 4 tests and then you have to take 2 tests before you go see someone. And it just reminds me of when Elaine had the discontinuation of her favorite birth control, the sponge.
Yes.
And had to determine how she determined to see people on whether they were sponge worthy. So now we have a situation where you have to determine which of your friends you want to see and whether they're test worthy or mask worthy now.
That's a fantastic analogy.
Quite a way to end the show.
Great.
Clay, have fun.
Episode. Same.
Have
I will.
Have fun, man.
Looking forward to hanging out with our crew. Should be great. WFSX, thank you guys. Have great weekends.
You're listening to Clay Travis and Buck Sexton on the EIB Network.